Since February, the investigative team at KABU has been working on a series of reports about the American Legislative Exchange Council and their penetration into the Oregon legislature. So far, we've given an overview of the organization and looked at their influence on GMO legislation and their work to privatize education in the state. Later reports will look at ALEC's effect on immigration reform, ballot initiatives, and the flow of money. But this story focuses on how ALEC is affecting public employees, and for that, I've enlisted the help of Samantha.
Hello, Don.
And Serena.
Hi.
They're not real people, but they're essential to this story. Ready, ladies?
Ready. Let's go.
Lawmaking has always been intricate. Tradition is bound up with procedure. Throw in the way technology can obscure as well as reveal, and it can be almost impossible for an average citizen to find connections between laws, lawmakers, and the influences that can affect them both. We used plagiarism software to compare language in Oregon legislation to language in ALEC model bills to see where they were similar. That led us to House and Senate members who supported that legislation, and that led us to campaign contributions and ultimately the money. But even though there may be a connection between the industry-enabled ALEC and our citizen-enabled legislature, it may not always be a direct connection, and so it's not always easy to see. That's where Samantha and Serena come in. As near as we could tell, 7 ALEC-inspired pieces of legislation from ALEC's Commerce, Insurance, and Economic Development, or CIED, task force were introduced in the Oregon legislature between 2011 and 2013. That's the task force that creates model legislation as it relates to public employees. Ladies, if you don't mind.
The High Risk Insurance Pool Model Act, which was introduced in 2011 as House Bill 2373 and reintroduced in 2012 as House Bill 4045. The Workplace Drug Testing Act, which was introduced in 2011 as Senate Bill 645. The Ignition Interlock Device Act, which was introduced in 2012 as House Bill 4017. The Discount Medical Plan Organization Act, which was introduced in 2013 as House Bill 2241. The Public Employee Freedom Act, which was introduced in 2011 as House Bill 3231. And the Council on Efficient Government Act, which was introduced in 2011 as House Bill 3484.
Those last two, the Public Employee Freedom Act and the Council for Efficient Government Act, are the focus of this report. ALEC says its CIED task force focuses on transportation and infrastructure, financial services, and what it calls good governance practices and labor and employment reform. And it describes its labor and employment reform work as preserving freedom of association for employees while protecting worker choice and taxpayer dollars. CID promotes what it calls collective bargaining transparency and employee choice regarding union involvement. But getting back to public employees, the two pieces of legislation that could have had the largest effect on workers were, what were they again, Samantha?
The Public Employee Freedom Act and the Council on Efficient Government Act.
Right. Let's look at the Council for Efficient Government Act first. It has the same title as the Oregon legislation. We'll get back to that in a minute. The model bill was originally introduced by ALEC in 2009 by its Tax and Fiscal Policy Task Force, but on the ALEC site, it's also associated with the CIED Task Force. House Bill 3484 was a mirror image of the ALEC bill. What you're hearing is Samantha, with the American accent, reading from the model legislation drafted by ALEC. Meanwhile, Serena, with the British accent, is reading the language from the Oregon legislation. And when I say it was a mirror image, I'm not kidding.
Two members who are engaged in private enterprise and who are appointed by the President of the Senate.
The Speaker of the House of Representatives shall appoint two members who represent the private sector.
Two members who are engaged in private enterprise and who are appointed by the Speaker of the House of Representatives.
The Governor shall appoint one member who is the Chief Executive Officer or Chief Administrative Officer of a state agency, and two members who represent the private sector.
The Chief Executive or Administrative Officer of a state agency who is appointed by the Governor. Two members who are engaged in private enterprise
enterprise and who are appointed by the governor.
The terms of appointment of the council are for 2 years. The appointing authority shall make an appointment to become immediately effective for the unexpired term.
The governor shall appoint a replacement member for the remainder of the unexpired term.
There's a backstory to why titles and wording tend to mirror each other. Here in Oregon, the state capitol has an office which is responsible for drafting the wording of legislation that eventually shows up on the floor of the House and Senate. It's called the Legislative Council. The Legislative Council is an agency in the state capitol that, according to Director Dexter Johnson, tries to achieve the intent of the legislator who requested the bill, meaning they try to stay as close to the original language and goal as possible. Back in March, I talked to an employee no longer with the office who told me that although only a legislator can introduce legislation, anyone can suggest that legislation to a legislator, and then it's up to them to draft it. But it's really up to the Legislative Council to draft it. Mr. Johnson said that when they get a model act, which he says does not happen infrequently, they try to understand what the legislator wants. And with its 25 attorneys, Mr. Johnson says the Legislative Council is the law firm for the Legislative Assembly, and its sole job is to write laws that are legal. Many legislators, not just those affiliated with ALEC, have told me groups pitch model legislation at them all the time. If they introduce it, for whatever reason, it's because they believe it's their job to introduce it. And since, according to Mr. Johnson, it's the job of the Legislative Council to use as much of the language that legislator gives them as possible, he and his lawyers build the law around as much of it as possible without letting it sound the same. But what you get is outside groups indirectly deciding what the law is. Besides, as we've already shown, moving words around doesn't mask the source, and in some cases, it leads to snafus. In some legislatures, those snafus have proven embarrassing. In February 2012, Common Blog reported that Florida Representative Rachel Bergen made such a snafu. The online news program The Young Turks and host Cenk Weiger picks it up from there.
Florida State Representative Rachel Bergen, who put in a bill and forgot to take out the part that was actually in the memo about ALEC itself, okay? Get a load of what she submitted into the legislature. Quote, House Memorial, a memorial to the Congress of the United States urging Congress to cut federal corporate tax rate. Whereas it is the mission of the American Legislative Exchange Council to advance Jeffersonian principles of free markets, limited government, federalism, and individual liberty. And when she realized her mistake, 24 hours later, she pulled it in a panic, like, I didn't mean that. And then she resubmitted the same exact thing, just with that sentence about ALEC taken out.
Ms. Bergen was later asked about the mistake and her relationship to ALEC by YouTube contributor Susanna Lindbergh Randolph.
So, yeah, I was just wondering if you wanted to clear the air on
that. You know, I have no issue actually whatsoever of the legislation which I filed. I believe in it. I am happy that I did so. So that's it.
Right. And so, I mean, I know that ALEC kind of has this negative connotation. I was just wondering how, you know, how does it help you as a legislator?
I don't think that they do have a negative connotation. There is a process in which we are members of them. We have to pay to be members of them. They don't give campaign donations. It's not like you know, they came to me asking me to file legislation that was going to financially benefit them or anything like that. It is very specifically in a House memorial that gives a resolution to Congress to allow them to bring back the corporate tax rate, and that's as simple as that.
You know, do they go over like strategy and how to help you get bills passed in session? Like, how much assistance do they provide being a member?
I serve very specifically on the Tax and Fiscal Policy Task Force, and really, they don't provide any kind of assistance in passing legislation here in Florida.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your time.
So what does all of this have to do with House Bill 3484? It was introduced in the 2011 regular session, and it failed, not because it didn't have strong Republican support. Then Republican lawmakers Katie Brewer, Jason Conger, Sal Esquivel, Vic Gilliam, Mike McClain, Kim Thatcher, Chris Telfer, Jim Thompson, Jim Widener, Gene Wisnett, and Matt Wingard all supported the bill. What it would have done, according to Oregon ALEC Watch, is open the door to privatization of many services currently provided by state government. It would have created a council of private business people appointed by the governor, whose job it would have been to decide which government services should be privatized. ALEC's CIED task force worked with the ALEC Tax and Fiscal Policy Task Force to come up with the language for House Bill 3484. And Altria, formerly Philip Morris, is the CIED task force corporate chair. So is there any connection between ALEC's Council for Efficient Government Act and Oregon House Bill 3484? Well, that 2011 bill was supported by 11 or all of the past legislators mentioned earlier, including the representative for Oregon House District 23, Republican Jim Thompson. The Secretary of State website shows that between 2008 and 2010, 10 of those 11 got between $1,000 and $4,500 from Altria. Representative Jim Thompson got the most. I asked Representative Thompson about his views on ALEC model legislation back in April.
I am a member of ALEC, but I'm a member of a lot of things, but I am there because they do some good fundamental work on the conservative side. And I think their voice is worth listening to in balance. If you know where they're coming from, then of course you can evaluate what they produce. I've never run an ALEC bill. I know they do model bills, but many times the ones I've written or read don't relate to Oregon very well.
Jim Thompson was defeated by challenger Mike Nierman in Oregon's May primary. The other piece of 2011 ALEC model legislation that would have directly affected public employees, the so-called Public Employee Freedom Act, which was introduced as House Bill 3231, basically denied state agencies or public employers the authority to recognize a union as a bargaining agent, to collectively bargain with a union, or even meet with a public employee union to discuss a bargaining agreement. ALEC's Right to Work Act allows free riders who don't pay union dues but can continue to receive union benefits. It's a frequent companion to ALEC's Public Employee Freedom Act. But that piece of ALEC model legislation wasn't introduced by any member of the Oregon legislature between 2011 and 2013. In late June, however, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on an Illinois version of ALEC's Right to Work Act, ruling that thousands of home health care workers in Illinois can't be required to pay fees that help cover the union's costs of collective bargaining. It is a victory for ALEC and a devastating financial blow to unions nationwide. Here in Oregon, House Bill 3231 was supported by a different cohort, including then-legislators Cliff Bentz, Tim Freeman, Bill Garrod, Wally Hicks, Mark Johnson, Wayne Krieger, Andy Olson, Patrick Sheehan, and Sherry Springer, as well as consistent ALEC supporters Sal Esquivel, Kim Thatcher, Jim Widener, Gene Wisnett, and Matt Wingert. A check of the Secretary of State's campaign finance website showed that these legislators together received more than $80,000 in contributions from ALEC companies in the CIED task force, including Koch Industries, since 2007. Anheuser-Busch, an ALEC company and member of the task force that sponsored House Bill 3231, contributed nearly 40 of that $80,000 by itself. As far as the largest recipient of money from this group, it was former Clackamas Republican Patrick Sheehan. Mr. Sheehan got more than $15,000 from a number of ALEC heavy hitters, including Bank of America. Finally, although ALEC's Right to Work Act wasn't introduced as legislation, it was one of a number of union-targeting initiatives for which supporters planned for the 2014 ballot. To prevent a series of costly political fights, Governor Kitzhaber intervened and got opponents to withdraw 13 pro- and anti-union measures, including clones of ALEC's Rebalance Government Act, ALEC's Right to Work Act, and ALEC's Public Employee Choice Act. Scott Moore, a spokesperson for the group Our Oregon, said last March, "While the Koch brothers and ALEC are moving these anti-worker laws around the country, we won't have to face that threat this year." Despite their hopeful titles, the Council on Efficient Government Act, the Public Employee Freedom Act, by all indications of their effect on the middle class, these model bills have the goal of reducing the advocacy of government, elevating the autonomy of business, and erecting barriers that prevent citizens from challenging those laws. And ALEC opponents aren't the only ones who know those bills will be back. As Mr. Johnson of the Legislative Council told me, many of the 4,000 bills he sees in a regular two-year session are redrafts from previous years. This report was made possible by KABU reporters Yana Maximova, Sam Bowman, and Mike Klepfer. The KABU News Director is Jenka Soderberg. I'm Don Merrill.